Hello, and welcome to the Podcast of Steel. Here, I share news, reviews, my adventures, interviews, and more. You can always expect some Superman content from this show, but I'm a lover of all things geeky, so you never know what you're going to get. Now, let's leap into action with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.
Hello again, and welcome back to another episode of the Podcast of Steel. On the previous episode, my special guest was Paul Edwards from DC World, and that guest is back again. Hello, Paul.
Hello. Hello, Luke. Thanks for spending some time on this again.
Oh, it's like I've missed your face. I've missed your voice. I've missed my coffees in the morning. We've had a wonderful week in America. On the last podcast, we were talking about all of our plans, and now, sadly, that week is now over. We are back in England after an amazing week in America, and we're here to talk all about it, buddy.
It was, and I can't believe like it's a week tomorrow since we come home, and spending like 8 full days, 24 hours a day with you was brilliant.
We didn't kill each other. Have any fights, any bickering moments. It was a full-on week. And as you said, we must have gone through some sort of loopholes or some portals, because when we were out in America, the time didn't go that quickly, which was great. But as soon as we've come back and landed in England, the time's just flown by. And we're going to spend a bit of time on this episode talking about our time there. It seems quite unbelievable what we've done in such a small amount of time. But I asked you this question when we were out there, Paul, to sort of give us an idea of what we can talk about. You have got, I'm going to do the same thing again, you've got 20 seconds to name some of the things that we did when we were in America. Go.
Scum and Villainy restaurant in Los Angeles, the Warner Brothers tour, Hollywood, Funko store, Hollywood, San Diego Comic Con, the Penguin Experience, the Fandom Party, Funko Fun Days, Shaun of the Dead pub experience, plus the hotels and bars and restaurants.
I'll give you that. That's enough. I mean, to mention a few of those things, you think, that's a lot of stuff. As we mentioned on the previous podcast, we were planning this for a long old time. We didn't want to waste any opportunities. We knew that this was a very unique experience for us. So the planning that you and I put in, there was a lot. And I don't think there was a moment when we really had any reason to be sort of bored and waiting the next thing to do, because there was always something to do, whether it be from getting on the plane to fly out to LA, to eating at different places. I mean, some of our plans did change last minute, but we still didn't waste any moments. I can't think of a moment where I could think, oh, we could be doing this right now, or we could be seeing that booth. We really crammed a lot of stuff into our trip. And how do you think we managed that, Paul? How was that such a big thing?
I'm one of these, like, for something like this, being 45, this was quite a big thing. And for you as well, Luke, you're not far behind me.
I'm not there. I'm creeping up. The greys in the beard, they're not for show. They are real.
Getting somewhere like this and not going with a plan, I think you'd have been all over the place, may have wasted some time, and like you'd have had early evenings and just wasted time being there. And again, you know, once we landed, we was on a timer. We had 8 full days, 24 hours a day.
Yes.
And we wanted to pack in as much as we can, but also stay healthy and fit and awake ourselves. And I think the planning we did for like that, at least that 6-week build up, really, really helped, because we just got there and it was like we knew the place, we knew where roads were, we knew where streets were, we knew how to get all the cabs, and it was just so much easier by planning it, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think looking just at places on Google Maps and knowing roughly where you are located geographically, it really did help. So as soon as we were in LA, we knew the airport back to front. We knew where we had to go. We had to go from sort of a A to B sort of thing. And then all of a sudden we were outside in LA and that heat hit us like a ton of proverbial bricks. And wow, we were in jeans and t-shirts, just baking, trying to find a taxi, which we did find in the end. And it was...
Take us.
We did find one who knew where we were going. He drove a bit like Mad Max through the LA heat. But... it was all quite surreal. Like Paul, I'm not one for sleeping on planes. I can't. So we pretty much were up for 24 hours traveling there and traveling back on very little sleep, lots of caffeine, lots of wonderful food. But that, how long was the first flight there? Was it not 10 hours?
11 going out, it was.
It didn't seem that long at all going out there. We had,
We went to LA, didn't we, first? So
that was a fun experience. It's been on that plane for that amount of time. We watched some films. We watched Madam Web together. That was an experience. I don't have to watch that film again. Thank you very much.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, we were playing games that didn't work properly. There was lots of stuff on that plane that kept us busy. And we started the day in the champagne lounge. And then we had a little champagne on the plane as well from the wonderful stewardess and stewards from Virgin Atlantic. A good friend of mine who is a flight steward for a different company suggested, look, before you get on the plane, just give the flight crew some snacks and some treats just as a little hello and a thank you. And we are all about thanking people, Paul and I. So I was like, right, no, that's fine. That's an easy job. Grab a bag, put some sweets in it and give it to the cabin crew as you get on the plane. And before we'd even sat down, we were given a glass of champagne to say thank you. And we were like, hello, this is a good start to our trip. It was half past 10 in the morning. We were on our second champagne. It's like, this is how the trip should continue. We landed in LA and it seemed surreal. Every step of the way didn't quite seem real. Even from being in the airport in the UK to taking off, to landing, every single moment of this trip is a pinch me moment, which is why moments like this, where we can talk about the trip and reminisce, makes it more real. It makes me happy to talk about the trip. But yeah, it was a whirlwind. And as Paul said, we managed to do so much. We crammed a lot in. Now, it's impossible for us to pick any amount of highlights from this, but I think the ones that I have are the same ones that Paul had. Now, our first full day in Los Angeles, after we dropped our bags off of the hotel and tried to get at least some amount of sleep, which we did do each night, we went to the Warner Brothers Hollywood tour. Now, this, from the moment we arrived, was just, okay, we're here now. From the moment we got to the Warner Brothers tour, it was like, this is it, we're here now. And it felt like a touristy type moment. And what was it like stepping onto that Warner Brothers lot for you, Paul?
I think we're all in an Uber, everybody, and we pulled up outside. Now, Luke didn't seem too excited up to that point. He just thought we was going to Warner Brothers. I knew he was excited, but not acting in the way. And I got out of the cab, said thanks to the guy. And I remember turning around, and the cab was trying to drive away. And Luke left the door wide open. And Luke was like already doing photos and outside and everything. And I clicked, the cab's trying to go, the door's wide open. And then I knew it kicked in on him. It was like, action, here we go. We're here.
We're here now. That Warner Brothers tour was like, I'd seen pictures before, I'd seen videos, I've seen other people post at that event, but being just outside it looking like a movie studio lot, like we've seen in TV shows and films over the years. And when I was finally there, it was like, wow, okay, we are actually here. This is real. This isn't a dream. And from that moment, I think we just had such an amazing tour of the whole studio. We got on the little trolley. And our tour guide, who was filled with information, gave us a fantastic tour about the history of the Warner Brothers studio, which made me want to learn more. I think we both bought a book from the gift shop. I've already ordered another one from Amazon because I want to know more about the history of that film set. But just knowing more and learning more, we won't give away too many spoilers, but if you are going to LA, especially Hollywood, I would recommend this tour. If you're a lover of film or TV and pop culture from the last 100 plus years, it was a fantastic experience. And yes, we did the usual stuff. We looked in some houses. We learned how films were made. We did the Friends set, which was fun. We recreated the scene in front of the fountain. And then what I thought was over, because we'd already seen a few DC Warner Brothers items, we then got to the DC section where Paul and I spent most of the day, didn't we?
About 3 hours in there, I think we spent. Luke.
It was just to go in these big doors that were finally, some more air condition was there to embrace us, which was very nice. We were bombarded by huge posters of these DC Comics heroes from over the years, and then you could hear DC themes playing through the speakers, and then you were just welcomed by dozens upon dozens of statues and vehicles and props, and like, okay, this feels like home now.
It did feel like home. It was like heaven. And every time you walked around the different zones, it just timed it like when we was filming some stuff that the themes changed. We was in the Superman zone, then the Superman music come on, oh man. And as I went into the Batcave, the like Dark Knight tune came on. It was like, are they watching me film what I'm doing? And it was just going, everything went seamless. But there was just so much to look at, wasn't there?
And there was, like, there was lots of photographs going in. But we were also making sure that we took time to take in the moment, to be in the moment. Yes, we've both got thousands upon thousands of photographs and videos of our time there. But we also wanted to have some personal moments, whether it be with Henry Cavill or Christopher Reeve's suit. We wanted to make sure that, you know, this isn't a dream. You are, in fact, here, Paul. Take it in. Enjoy it. There was one moment, Paul, where you turned into a travel journalist, which was fantastic, and you started asking me questions in front of Christopher's suit. I was like, this is perfect. This is the memory that I need. So thank you for that. But
good.
And again, we were there for each other. So if we saw a photo opportunity, Paul would grab me and say, look, stand a bit here or stand a bit there. Paul has got a fantastic eye when it comes to photographs. And the reason that my Instagram feed was popping so much is because of Paul's fantastic photograph skills. And yeah, lots of selfies that week, lots of videos, just a fantastic time that we will still be going through these photos for months to come. And then, of course, there was the gift shop, which was another story, Paul, wasn't it?
Yeah, before we went in, there was like a mini gift shop bit we saw, wasn't there? Like the Friends bit. And that, this can't be just the gift shop. But then there's a big gift shop at the end of it, which every piece of merch from everything Warner Brothers and DC you can think of. And we I don't know, we probably spent about 45 minutes in there, Luke, going round and around. Yeah. And then for 10, 15 minutes, none of us were carrying anything. And then I vanished, Luke vanished. And then the time we met where he was carrying stuff, then we had a basket, and
there was a basket came out of nowhere. It was easily done though, because there are things there that you just simply can't buy online or in the UK. We haven't got the Warner Brothers store anymore, which is an absolute travesty. So to see things like unique pins or lanyards or pens or books or cups, as I've got here, it's easily done where you think, well, you know, I'm not going to be here any other time, so let's not regret this. I don't think there was any moment in America where I had some buyer's regret, which is quite a thing, because we did buy quite a fair bit of stuff.
Yeah, ended I think after the first or the second day, I had some stuff we'd been getting, and some Funko Pops and some other merch.
Yeah.
Then that one morning happened when you was at like the Alex Ross stand, and that was straight in the morning. You walked to your box, and I was like, here he goes. He's off now.
The spending can begin now. Yes, and I shall get to the Alex Ross box. I've got one of my little props here to the side of me. But yeah, just day one at the Warner Brothers tour was fantastic. So that was, if you are in America, can't recommend that enough. We won't bore everyone with the details of every single meal that we had, but they were all amazing. There was not a bad meal we had that week, especially the breakfasts. I'm missing crispy bacon and maple sauce so much, Paul. That maple syrup was just a thing of beauty. But after that day one, we went to the Funko. We toured around the local area. We went to the Universal area at night, which was an eye-opener. But we only really spent one full day in LA, but we crammed so much into it. But before we headed down to San Diego Comic-Con, which we will get to in a moment, we went off to have a very special tour, Paul, that you sorted out for us, of the Funko store in Hollywood, which was just, that was surreal, wasn't it? I mean, us both being Funko fans, but you being, you know, a retailer. You love Funko so much that it was part of the reason why you started the Geek Garage, and you've built some contacts up over the years, and you know, we were invited there to have a little look. And I've seen photographs of the store online. They didn't do this place justice. It was huge. It was massive. But for you, for being such a big Funko fan, what was it like for you to walk around this big store?
I think I'll tell anyone this if they go into the Funko store Hollywood. When you're outside, It doesn't look that big because you've got the windows, the door, and the wall and the sign, and that's it. But once you're in there, it is huge.
Yes.
And there are different zones. There's like, I don't know, 12, 14 foot Hulks and stuff in there. They've got made, you can have photos with. Everywhere had photo ops, didn't it, though?
It was
and
all round.
It was sections. You had Harry Potter zone, you had the DC zone, you had the Disney villains zone. The place, it probably, you could spend, we spent 2 hours in there, didn't we?
We
like
did.
just having the tour and then going around again and then just looking at all the exclusive pops they sell, the merch. And one of the fun parts, Luke, was the pop yourself part, wasn't it?
That was, it was very fun to see. Paul's got some props down there behind him, but on this particular day, we were heading down to San Diego after the Funko store. So we were kindly allowed to leave our bags in the store, not anywhere. We went into a TARDIS, which opened up very much like the outside of the store. It was very misleading because the shop is huge. But we went in, this TARDIS door opened up into a big back office of the Funko store. And yeah, the pop yourself that you've got your one there, Paul. I've got one of mine here as well. Tell me about the pop yourself part, Paul. Go on.
So they've got a machine. They've got quite a few. There's probably about 10 or 12 screens.
Yes.
There's a lot of generic stuff in there. So T-shirts, trousers, clothes, heads, styles, colours, etc. And there's enough parts in there that you can generate something to look like you, whatever you're wearing, whatever you want to be holding, or with a cat or a dog. So one was for my son, James. He was begging me to at least get his. He did. And then, yeah, you just create your hairstyle, your beard, if you've got one, what you're wearing. It prints the receipt off. You pay, I don't know, whatever they were, $40, something like that, and give your ticket to the counter. And then there's a little team out the back assembling all these parts to your pop, and you just picked them up in like 15 minutes. So I've done two. One for Geek Garage, with me with a ginger beard holding a Funko and a comic there. And then the other one I've done... We done afterwards, Paul at DC World in like a Superman outfit.
We did. I had to go for the same sort of thing. Little Superman outfit. He's got the beard on. He's got the pants.
Just no S, but we can get that on there.
And I mean, for years, I mean, people have been making their own Funko Pop sort of thing, and you can pay out a fair amount of money for somebody with a 3D printer to make your own Funko Pop. But now I think Funko have caught on and thought, hang on, there's a little gap in the market here where we could make some more money. But not charged through the roof. And it was a fun experience. Going through the little, like picking your own little avatar off the screen was great. But then just walking around, as you said, and all these different photo ops and seeing giant Funkos, seeing the Justice Hall for me, and seeing all the superheroes and a massive Superman Funko Pop. I'm thinking, how much technically would it cost to get one of those made?
Oh, no, I love that.
Just to have a massive Superman just in my room to greet me whenever I got home. But as you said, you could spend a good few hours in there. And yes, you can buy some Funko Pops, you can buy some treats for yourself, but just walking around, hearing the music, seeing the multiple photo ops that were happening, it was such a fun and special place to be that it really it made us more excited for the trip. I think when we landed there, we were just continuously thinking about what we're going to be doing next. And we were forgetting things. Paul kept on reminding me, saying, Luke, we're going to Warner Brother World today. Luke, we're going to the Funko shop today. Luke, we're going to Comic-Con today. I'm thinking, I'm going to pop. With all this excitement, I am going to burst. But yeah, from the Funko store, again, Uber pretty much should have been a sponsor for this trip because it really helped us get from A to B when we were out in America. Nice and safe, wonderful drivers. We've met some fantastic characters. But from the Funko shop, we said our thank yous and said our goodbyes. And then we headed down to the beautiful train station for a part of the trip that I was very excited for, being a bit of a train nerd. So it was about a 3-hour train ride down to San Diego from LA. And it was a great way for us to unwind, to relax. As Paul said earlier on, we wanted to make sure that we were looking after each other on this trip. And even just sitting down in a comfortable seat, literally watching the world go by, was a treat. It was a fun part of the holiday. So to sit down on this double-decker train, which we don't get in the UK, a lot of Americans didn't understand that. I was like, this is big for me. This is huge. And we were told to sit on the right-hand side, because when you sat on the right-hand side, you were able to see the ocean. And we did. And it was we saw lots of people get on that train that were clearly headed to Comic-Con. Lots of nerds, a few DC Comics artists and writers we spotted as well going up and down the train.
Game of Thrones actors as well, weren't there?
Yes, they were on the train. They were there to promote the new Rome show that was there. And even when we sat down, I was just excited by that. And then one of the train guards came along and gave us some snacks. We decided to get a bit more comfort and travel in business class for this trip on the train. And what really excited me was the snacks that we got were in a box, and on the box was the train we were riding on. I am that easily excited that that was enough to bring my trip up by a few extra points. But just, again, watching and seeing parts of America that we would not really have seen before by taking this trip was a wonderful eye-opener. And was, I mean, when we were in Ubers driving from point A to point B, I was loving all the different buildings and palm trees we were seeing. But on this
all the
train,
artwork, wasn't it? All the artworks on the buildings and stuff.
Some fantastic mosaics and artwork and graffiti. There was one point when Paul and I were walking up and down the Hollywood Stars one night. We just happened to see the Hollywood sign behind us in the background. We said, oh, there it is. We are here. It is real. We're not in a dream. And there was just so many pinch me moments where if Paul and I weren't to have noticed, we would have missed that.
Yeah.
And yes, so we were on the train to San Diego. But before that, one of the big things that we both wanted to do was to go and find the Christopher Reeve Hollywood star, which we did do first thing in the morning before it got too hot. Because it doesn't take long for LA to get quite warm. But we found that star. We took videos, we took photographs, we took selfies, we tried to be as cinematic as we possibly could. But for me and Paul, that was one of the big things on our list of things to do, was to go and pay our respects to Christopher Reeve. But I think just walking up and down those streets, we saw quite a few Hollywood stars, which was nice.
Oh, yeah.
And now, one thing that I will say about LA is I think the movies and certain aspects of Hollywood have given us a false impression of that city, which a lot of people have mentioned. It's quite pungent, the streets of LA. If I'll be brutally honest, there's lots of smells of, let's say, the devil's lettuce, some may call it. It's quite pungent of certain aromas. Not everybody is friendly. It's certainly a place that, for some, you might not feel too comfortable after dark. But I think every town or city you visit, there are some sketchy parts. Yeah. There are some places that aren't safe. But we can say we've visited now. We've seen the sights. We've done the tourist traps. We've literally been in so many gift shops buying stuff to bring home as well. But seeing Christopher Reeve's star was more than worth the heat of walking around and the the unique interactions we had with people up and down that avenue. But yes, but that for me, one of the highlights for me was seeing that star and taking that train down to San Diego, Paul. What was that train like for you?
Oh, I loved it. Like, not only getting a little lunch pack, which is always a bonus. We like our food, so to get a little food pack and drink was nice. And then I ventured off and got a hot dog and stuff, didn't I? And I had a kitchen on there doing food.
You just walked off and came back with a massive hot dog. I thought, where did you get that from, Mary Poppins? Well done.
So we did that, and it was like an hour getting out of LA, and then you had an hour down the coast, and an hour coming back into San Diego, and it went really quick. It didn't seem like 3 hours, did it?
No, we were both, I think there were little parts of us that, with all the planning that we did, there was still a certain amount of the unknown where we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know how to do certain parts. We were given advice on how to collect our badges, how to collect our train tickets, where to be and where to go. But I think the one thing about this trip, it was asking people, just if there are people around, it's just being polite and saying, excuse me, could you give us some help? Because Paul and I didn't know where we had to go for this train. It was a huge train station. So just asking people around us, asking the train guards, asking for information of where our bags have to go, where we have to get off this train. But there was a certain aspect for us. I mean, we got to San Diego pretty quickly. And from there, we got off at the station and we could see that everybody was excited to be there. Everyone was going off in their separate directions. And again, we got yet another Uber to our hotel, which was gorgeous, the second hotel. Yeah. It was right by the sea. We had a wonderful neighbour that was pretty much speaking and singing to us all night on a buoy, or a buoy, as we would call it in the UK. Yeah, it was a massive seal, wasn't it? Or sea lion, whatever you wanted to call it out there. But, oh.
By the time we left, there was about 10 of them out there one day. I got a picture of them all on the jetty. And
just,
stuff.
All out.
We won't have the aircon all night. We'll have the balcony door open. We was like 16 floors up. It was safe. And then, I was like, oh, we were having a laugh. So it's just somebody, aircon, shut the door.
Somebody got a puppy. Is there a dog outside? No, there is a huge sea lion on that buoy making a load of noise. But yeah.
And he was there for the week. He was.
He was. Lots of pelicans as well. Oh, yep. As my head is going back with lots of different memories. Paul and I, at our first hotel, recorded a podcast. And all of a sudden, I was extremely distracted and excited because I saw my very first hummingbird just hovering about. I thought it was a giant insect at first. And I was like, oh, it's a hummingbird. Am I in a Disney movie? Am I that character? But yeah, it was things like that, little moments where I had to pinch myself and think, yeah, Luke, you actually are in a completely different country on the other side of the world, witnessing and seeing things for the first time. But yeah, again, going back to that trip down to San Diego, it was a wonderful highlight. But yeah, we got to the hotel, pretty much threw our bags down because we had to go off and collect our passes for this was preview night. Now, we didn't know what we were going to see, how big the queues were. Technically, there was a little inkling inside both of us that was like, well, we might not be able to get these passes. What happens if our contact somehow, they've lost our details? If we're there and it's 6 o'clock in the afternoon in England, it's going to be the middle of the night and they're going to be asleep, and vice versa. It could ruin time off our trip. But we got to San Diego. We got to that huge convention center that we've seen on screen for years, and we were finally there and we were excited, but it was, we were trying to keep our cool. And Paul, please tell these wonderful listeners what it was like when we did go in to collect our passes. What was that moment like?
I think we sort of didn't take in outside too much. We had a quick couple of videos and we said, we'll take all this in tomorrow, the outside area, because it's beautiful there. And we found the door we had to go in. So it was door E and we was at B. So we just walked down the building. It's very long. Went in, was like asking the staff, very polite, very professional, very authoritative, which we love. Where do we go to get our passes? We know it's the sales pavilion. Oh, yeah, you need to go up there, turn left. And we was there within a minute. Yeah. And I'll never forget the guy at the desk we had to go up to. No one was there. So we got to the desk, spoke to the gentleman, took our names and emails. He went out the back for a minute. He came back out with a list. That was sort of a sticky pants time when we weren't sure. Are our names on this list?
Our names on that list. We were spelling our name out, giving him our ID, saying, yeah, it's 2 G's, B-U-double-G.
Yep. And then he done the printer went and he printed our passes, gave them to us with a nice San Diego Comic-Con pin. We could go and pick a backpack bag up. We scanned in at the metal, like not detectors there. You scan your pass to go in and out of the building. Then you scanned in and I said to someone, oh, how do we go down to the floor? So we literally followed around the top, went down an escalator and was in the con. I would say the whole thing took 10 minutes from us getting our passes to being on the con floor. And we went straight to the DC booth just to see what was going on.
It was just the fact that I think over the last few weeks and months, you tend to overthink, and it's something that can easily be done. I'm an advocate for not overthinking, but it's something that still happens. And we were at this desk, given out our details, and it was so quick, so smooth. I think once we both got our passes, I had to explain to the gentleman, I was like, look, thank you so much. You've just relieved all of our stresses just by you doing your job in such a fantastic way. And we are finally in. You've made this trip happen in a way. So we shook hands, we said hellos. And yes, as you said, from there, we went straight into the con and straight to that majestic DC Comics booth. And I just couldn't believe we've walked that virtual floor many times through YouTube videos and from the advice from others, but seeing it in person for the first time, seeing how big of an exhibition floor it was like, wow. this is why it's one of the biggest Comic-Cons in the world. And yeah, as you said, we were there relatively quickly, just taking it all in. And yeah, as you said, straight to the DC booth, which was already busy on preview night. And was what I love to see was the fact that it was busy all weekend from the Wednesday to the Sunday afternoon. And the fact that, yes, it was a bit of a bugger that something sold out, that all the Superman stuff sold out. We were going back each day trying to join queues, and there was always that dreaded end of line placard that we kept on seeing. Line ends here.
My cosplay there one day. I will go as that sign.
We saw it enough times. But I mean, there were people there that were clearly had queued up from the first thing in the morning to get their goodies. And don't get me wrong, we did manage to come home with a lot of stuff. I think, Paul, you just recently shared a photograph of one photo of all the items you were putting on your bed in the hotel. And it was impressive. I'll tell you, if you can witness anything in your life, people, you need to witness Paul Edwards packing a suitcase. There was a moment where I could see his head just thinking. I was lying on the bed, chilling out. He was there thinking, like a man doing a giant Tetris. But even though the man had to go and buy a second suitcase, his packing skills are second to none. Everything went in there perfectly. Nothing was damaged. It was a sight to be told. But yeah, we bought a lot of stuff that weekend. And I think most of the stuff that we wanted to get, we did get. But what made me so happy was the fact that there was so much demand for DC Comics merchandise. So many people wanting Superman swag. We missed out on the hats and the t-shirts and our sizes. We still got some of the stuff because we wanted to have it. But now all those items are pretty much available in the States on the Hot Topic website or Amazon or the Warner Brothers shop here in the UK, as Paul is modeling one there beautifully. I don't know about you, Paul, but and a hat. Look at him go. The perfect model.
This is the UK one. It's very nice. The US one, it was just more embossed, wasn't it?
It was. I think I've got one coming my way. I think there's a few extra things that I've been buying on eBay this week, which is awesome.
Because we
bought a lot of stuff out there in the States last week. There were exclusives that we had to sort of add to our baskets as well. And I think you can get a little bit carried away. As you said, there was one day where Paul and I did do a lot of spending. We had been to the shop floor on our first Thor day, which was the Thursday. We'd been to Funko, where Paul had got some of those, the Deadpool and Wolverine Funkos made up. And there we go. And I got, what did I get? I got a few more little bits and bobs as well. But it was, by that point, we had ticked off the things that we'd wanted to do, the things that we really wanted to buy. So everything else was a bonus. And we explored the con floor. We one particular booth that Paul and I kept going back to, and I've already opened all mine up, was like a retro trading card booth. I think Paul's got some for some of them. The classic packs of cards you could get as a kid. You would visit your local newsagent and buy the garbage pail kid. You would buy your football stickers or your Beano stickers. But these,
Batman 89, Superman, I end up buying the whole box.
You did buy a whole box, which was impressive to see. And then we got talking to one of the guys that did own the booth. And it was great to speak with him about that. And he had on his T-shirt just said, I don't eat the gum. Because clearly over the years, so many people have asked him the same question. But just a booth like that was fun to experience. And it's stuff that we wouldn't really always see at a UK con. You might see a few classic trading cards, but not to that extent. As they say in America, they do things bigger and better. And that is no word of a lie. With this convention, it was huge. But there was so much more to see there than that. There were comics, there were Funko Pops, there were art, there were artist alleys where I managed to get lots of autographs to my copy of Action Comics number one. And on our first night there, we passed one of Paul's goals for this trip, which we can still make that happen. It was to get a slabbed comic.
Oh, yeah.
That's still going to happen, I think, with you, Paul. But we passed a booth that was from Metropolis Comics that deal with slabbed comics. And we saw three copies of Superman number one for lots of money.
$250. That's the one that's...
slightly above Paul and I's daily spending budget for the Comic Con, but just to be in the presence of those slabbed comics. I think on the last day, somebody had taken one out of the cupboard to have a look. And I was like, can I have a photograph with it? And I wasn't allowed to hold it, but it's like, it's there right next to my face. Like I could almost like smell the pages of this comic. But I think the good thing about Paul and I taking so many photographs and videos as we walked around the con, it will give us wonderful little snapshots into the memories that we made when we were out there. Those pinch me moments where each morning walking from breakfast from the fantastic Broken Yoke Cafe, where we went pretty much every day, and I miss dreadfully. Miss their coffee, miss their orange juice.
Oh, no, the coffee here tastes terrible now, Luke. Oh, my God.
It's okay. I mean, I did miss my Greggs. I've got to say, I am a Greggs fan, but that coffee we had out there, whether it be with the regular cream or the vanilla cream, was delicious. And the Broken Yoke Cafe, again, not a sponsor for this podcast episode. All the waiters and waitresses were dressed up each morning in superhero outfits. There were superhero cutouts and boards everywhere. And we were advised to go to this particular restaurant because it did just really get you in the mood for this adventure. Yeah. Now, I think cons in the UK, when we go for sort of a quick breakfast before the event, it's literally grab a sandwich, grab a coffee, wolf it down, go and join a queue, because from that queue you're going to be in another queue, and it's going to be endless queuing that takes up all your day. So the first full day for Paul and I being at San Diego Comic-Con, we walked from the Broken Yoke, which took about 10 minutes, and then we joined a queue, and we thought, okay, we're going to be here for a few hours. What happened then, Paul, when we were finally there on day one?
I think with the time we'd done breakfast at like 7:30 till 8:15, and the convention opened at 9:30, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But we was getting over there for about 8:15. So we had about a 45-minute wait till it would open. But their system is they will filter you in from outside. You go up the escalator. You go around the whole building, which they have the queue building around the other side, and they filter you down the escalators, and they filter you in the building. It's sort of open a bit earlier to get you in on the con floor. Once that queuing system ends, so whether it's 9:30 or earlier, the main doors then open, and you can just go in without a queue. Literally, like 2 days running, we just queued for literally 30 minutes, probably, and was in. Brilliant, wasn't it? And we had a lay-in one on the Sunday, and I think we just turned up as it opened, and we walked straight in the main doors. Unbelievable.
Any sort of con like that in the UK or anywhere else around the world, I'm not too sure how it works. I'm guessing there's a lot of queuing, but for a con of this scale, the amount of people there that are not only working, but some are volunteers that work on the con floor, it was impressive to see a well-oiled machine. Now, as you said before, Paul, there is some authority to some of these people's voices. There's a lot of no running, don't sit there, don't stand there. You lot, come down this way. You lot, you're in the wrong queue. Yeah. Don't run. It helps. People there are excited. They can easily get distracted. I can sometimes be like a magpie at something shiny. So to be there with Paul and have other people saying, right, we're going here next, take a left. We've got to go to this booth or this booth. It was so smooth getting in and out and getting to different destinations. And that, I believe, is a credit not only to that particular layout of the building, but all the organizers behind the scenes. And they were all so happy and cheerful in the morning. They were sort of applauding as you went down the escalator. But there was a moment when, as you said, you have to go up before you go in. And we went up the escalator and sort of we both looked behind us and we could see those big round windows that you see all over the years that people post on their feeds to say that they are there. And I think that was the moment and it was like, okay, yeah, we're here. We are at San Diego Comic-Con. We are very, very far away from home, but we are here. And I think from that first, I say the Thursday morning, our first full day at San Diego Comic-Con, was an absolute blast.
Yeah.
And I'm still pinching myself and smiling about stuff. But as we said, there was planning involved with this trip. We wanted every moment to be memorable, not just to be, oh, we've got 30 minutes here free. Let's just go and sit down and have some lunch. It was more like we've got a few hours here, but then we've got to leave to do this thing. Then we've got to leave to do that thing. So it was definitely a very well organized trip. Now, as I said, we had lots of days at the con, but we had evenings out as well, Paul, didn't we? What can you remember of our first evening out?
I remember our first evening out with our names not being on the list, Luke, and I was arguing to get us in there. So
there was a bit of a drama. Yeah, we had again, and it was that situation where we can't really contact our contacts in the UK because they're asleep. But here's an email with our names on it saying that we are on this particular list. Please help us. And yeah, we got taken into the event and we got taken out again and then in and out. But long story short, the wonderful Paul did manage to do some speaking and sort of some sorting out, and he got on it straight away. And we were in the fandom party, which was, I've never been to a rooftop party before, but it was quite exciting to say the least. Yeah. They were dancers on stilts. They were fantastic food and drinks. There was a swimming pool that I stayed very far away from because I knew that I would easily just be straight in there at any given chance. And then, a concert hosted by Jason Derulo. But I think even though it was a fantastic party, it was brilliant. We saw Neil there from Get Your Comic Con and a few other people. As we left that particular event, the drone party happened.
Oh, yes, yes.
This magnificent drone event. Now, you may have seen these happen at different places before, but we heard all this hurrah and all this noise and screaming, and we looked to the sky, and we saw Deadpool taking over the San Diego skyline. Yeah. And then we saw Wolverine. And then we saw all these fireworks and logos appearing from hundreds upon hundreds of drones. And it was such a surreal sight to see. It was so bizarre.
It was a buzz. And then right at the very end, that Fantastic Four logo came up and said, Hall H tomorrow. And then you heard everyone, the cheers and the buzz. Like, it was nice to have experienced that. I know we was outside for like 10 minutes when that happened. It was nice to have been there at the time that it happened, and you could like reflect on that. And we was filming it, and I was sending it to my son. Like, oh, look at this in the sky! It was amazing. And we was like there. So
I was like, it wasn't just like a regular fireworks show. It was a full on drone show, and I'd not seen one in person before. And I'm thinking, if somebody from even 20 years ago was to look up at the sky and see that, you're thinking, what are they thinking? Is this aliens? Are we being taken over? It was such a well-organized light show. And it made everyone excited for the following days. Now, again, Hall H is a big part of Comic-Con. We know that. And it's something that Paul and I discussed. We thought about doing it, but then we know there's a lot of work involved. Not just work, but also time, a lot of time queuing. And we could have split that time up and Paul stayed for a bit and I stayed for a bit and we could have gone off and enjoyed the con. But for us, I think we wanted to experience more of the inside of the event.
Yeah.
We wanted to speak with cosplayers. We wanted to see the different booths. We wanted to experience as much as possible. And even though we are British and are very good at queuing, we didn't want to spend our whole time there in a queue. And I can understand why some people do it. The camaraderie there behind it is a great part of the event. And to be in that room and to see those exclusives firsthand and get some of that exclusive swag as well. But yeah. I mean, I don't regret not being in Hall H. What are your thoughts on that particular part of the con, Paul?
I think behind the scenes in my head that something was going to happen with Superman, and I thought if it happens, it would be the Sunday, because it was all very quiet. Sort of in the back of my head, I thought, if we get to Saturday and there is going to be a Superman thing Sunday, and we've done a lot of the con anyway by Friday, Saturday, I might have sacrificed the Saturday afternoon and gone and queued. I think you probably would have done it with me. We'd have folded. But
the thing, because what day was it when we did most of our shopping? Was that the Friday or the Saturday?
Oh, Friday we got quite a bit done, and Saturday we just done some pickups, I think. Yeah. And then Sunday was like the free. So to be fair, Sunday, every what I would say to everybody, although it shut at 7 on like the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I went going thinking we was going to leave at 7 o'clock every night and then go off to an event, and we didn't. We was leaving at like 2, 3, and 4 because we'd done everything.
Yeah,
got back to the hotel and chilled, and then went back out for the evenings. You don't have to stay up to the 7 every night because it's a lot of walking around, and you'll just be relapping stuff you've seen. We was just key points we were going back to. But yeah, the Hall H thing, there was nothing going on for me to want to be in and go and queue on this time. But certainly if it was something big.
Yeah, if something Superman did get released, we would have thought, okay, we've done this now. Let's go and chuck our bags back at the room, get yet another Uber back and join a queue and just get ready and wait. But we didn't get any big Superman news, but we did get that gorgeous DC Comics logo and the DC Studios logo come back with the Bullet logo, which was one of my favorites. I've got that on a few comics here behind me. That was a big announcement. Even though James Gunn wasn't there, he still sort of made his presence known by releasing that news. But yeah, the Hall H, maybe if we do go back another year and something big gets released, we could do it.
Never know. But, and we was looking that morning, they announced the logo. We walked by the DC stand and Jim Lee was just signing. Do you remember? And we queued got in the six reserved people. They had held back six if you could go in at the end. And we was the
we
fifth.
We managed the last ones to get in the DC Comics queue. And just sort of just say, just to see Jim Lee there and thank him for all that he's done for the world of DC and Superman. And he signed my my copy of Action Comics and he signed a comic for you and the new DC postcard for you. But we saw Jim Lee the night before at another event. Now this was, as experiences go, one heck of an experience.
This is the one I've been talking about to work today.
Yeah, we were kindly invited to the Penguin event, which was a heck of a lot of fun just by itself. A nightclub, which had been essentially taken over by the Joker, by the Penguin and some of the Penguin's goons, drug dealers and criminals and gangsters. And this nightclub had been turned into an immersive experience. And from the moment we were outside, we got in, met by places filled with actors, which was surreal for me. I had a lot of fun speaking with some of these gangsters and the people inside.
It was the twins, wasn't it? They didn't react to you, so you didn't know how to react to
the twins. We were by the front of this door, and we were told it was like an immersive experience, and you had to look out for clues. So I was looking at things everywhere. There was bits of trash on the floor, which were clues. There was a piece of paper on the wall where you could rip off these little phone numbers. And I thought, oh, that might be a clue. I ripped it off, and these twins both went, hey! I was like, whoa, okay, this is a real moment. But yeah, we went into this lift, as it were, and went down the club floors. And then we were in the Penguins nightclub. What was that like for you, Paul?
So yeah, we come downstairs, went down like an elevator. We went downstairs. It was all like some experience there. Photo ops, the actresses and the actors. Then we come out in the nightclub and we were amongst the first few people in there. And we got like a free Penguin slushy. Which was very nice, actually, and a few more drinks throughout the night. And you was in like the bar area. Then it went back out to a big dance floor bar area. Mm. And I remember the curtains hanging down, like an old butcher's shop.
Was like a meat warehouse. I thought that can't be part of the night.
Yeah. I thought we could go out there. And I walked by the guy at the blinds because we were looking for these clues because there was a club in the club that you needed a password for. We'll get to that. And I went by the blinds and the guy said to me, oh, do you want to do drops? And I don't know if I panicked thinking it's some drug dealer here. And I was like, no. And I walked away and then I clicked.
You're very British. Not for me, thank you. No.
This could be part of the experience. So we went back and said yes. And then he took us in and it was like a drugs factory, but pretend. And we got these cool drops, pins, tattoos they were doing in there.
Yeah, I've got one. I'll tell you what, in my scrapbook memory book that I've got here, I shall show you, as if by magic. So yeah, they had hundreds of these little packages. Yeah. Now, I had to be very careful bringing this back to the UK because that is quite clearly some sort of drug paraphernalia. But in there was a little pin, which was very cool. But we went into this sort of meat chilled room where all these guys were making drugs. And then we got tattooed. You could get tattooed whilst you were in there. And sort of it was a tattoo to sort of initiate you into being part of this gang. And when Paul was off getting his tattoo, I had my one, which was a nice little rat on the side. And I was having a conversation with this drug dealer about why we don't deal with rats very well. And he's like, yeah, that's a good tattoo. That means you're one of us sort of thing. So as immersive experiences go, this was one of the most fun events we've ever been to. We've been to a few of these in the UK over the years. But for me, this just felt like you were in a club, again, within a club. And there were clues, which we did have trouble finding at first. There was a secret nightclub that you had to give a password to. Turns out, we'll get to this part later on, but the password was Francis. And I don't know why we said that. I think I overheard someone. So we went to the club, within the club, and gave him the code word, which was Francis. And then in this little room, there was a guy giving out cigars. There was more photo ops. There were more tattoos and drinks.
Jewelry
going on, yeah. Like these little gold bracelets being put on. But yeah, there was a bar there and we had drinks as well. Later on, when we got back to our hotel, I did nab some of the props from inside this club. One of them being a penguin napkin that was at the bar. Very nice napkin. And in big, bold red letters underneath the penguin logo, it said, "Say Francis, say Francis." Yeah. I was like, look, we were being too, I think we were trying to be too much like detectives to look for things that were more, a bit obscure. And actually it just said, "Say Francis and we'll let you in." But yeah, great time in there. Cocktails and hot dogs and dancing and the actors and a very immersive experience. And then, Paul, what happened?
And then we got evacuated. We was in there nearly 2 hours. Getting near 8 p.m. their time. And I knew at 8 p.m, I think the public tickets were coming in. So there's going to be more coming in throughout the night. We were in as like the press and the influencers, etc. I think Luke saw someone run up to the DJ on the stage, say something. The lights came on. All of the staff at the exact sort of same time, like something went off in their earpiece or something, like a code word. They get everybody out. I think they got us out within about 30, 40 seconds.
It didn't take, it everyone was very surreal.
Everyone needs to leave. This is not a joke. We all need to go. So we're in an immersive experience, weren't we? We all started to think it's part of the act.
Is it part of it? But then you could tell their tone changed straight away. They're like, "No, this is not part of the event. Please find your nearest exit." And everything was all lit up. I mean, going back, back in the day, many a moon ago, Paul, I was a fire marshal at work. So I still get that mode where sort of if you're going to somewhere new, you look for your fire exits. You look for a way out, especially being in a club that's underground, as it were. I was like, okay, I know where to go if needs be. And the staff were fantastic. They're like, "Follow us this way, upstairs and out. Please evacuate. This is not part of the event. Please upstairs. You're going to be fine. Up the stairs and out." So we did. We followed the crowd. I was there with you and Neil from Get Your Comic On. And then we left this dark nightclub and it was still light outside.
Yeah.
Opened the doors to like about 5 or 6 fire engines and the sky filled with smoke because the roof was on fire.
I mean, it was like a restaurant or the place next door had a kitchen on the top or something happened. It caught fire. They evacuate the whole bit.
It was surreal to say the least. Yeah. We were all safe. Everyone was safe. The guys did a fantastic job of securing everyone. And then only a few hours later, they did reopen. And the night continued, which I'm very happy for everybody else who had tickets for that particular night because it was amazing. But it certainly added yet another surreal moment to such an already interesting week that added even more memories to the week. And we were there taking photographs and taking pictures and sort of, again, this for us, it was early evening. For people back home, they would have been asleep. So we sent messages back home to our loved ones saying, "Look, if you do happen to see anything about San Diego, we're safe. We got out. Don't panic. I'll speak to you when you wake up and I wake up," sort of thing. Just, we thought if this was part of their budget, we don't know how much money HBO and DC have got for Batman to actually come down and set fire to this nightclub. But interesting night to say the least. And then again,
I'm very well, wasn't it? And how quick they acted and got everyone out. I thought that was straight phenomenal, away. Actually. The amount of people that we had in there well at the time and the staff, and they just, in that second, everyone
so safe. I think I even said to Paul at the beginning of the week, I want to see some fire engines. Not that up close. There was one moment when I did the old horn to a fire engine at the beginning of the week and I got a response from a truck driver that I was very happy about. But there were like 5 or 6 fire engines tackling that fire. Police, yellow tape, So it looked like a movie scene. Again, it made that event just even more exciting, but brilliantly done. And the other, again, as if we didn't do enough that week, this podcast could easily turn into a four-part series. But we went to an event that I was really excited to experience, as were you, as a Funko fan. It was the Saturday night, wasn't it?
So fun night. Yeah, I forgot about this.
See, there's so much going on. It was the Funko Fun Day. Paul managed to get two special invites to this event. And boy, was it a night that we will never, ever forget. So we'd both seen videos and photographs and news of this event from over the years, where you can go along and have some fantastic food and there's a fantastic show and there's giveaways and there's prizes. But I am quite clearly a passionate Superman fan. I have been for many years. It's hard not to get that about me. These Funko fans have got nothing on me. This event, from the moment we went in, we got there nice and early, had some delicious food and a couple of drinks. We got our bag of Funko Pops, and already we're excited because we've got this big bag of Funko Pops to take home. And then the party started, a literal party. This ballroom started filling up with hundreds upon hundreds of Funko fans from around the world, from all walks of life. Now, Paul, being a serious Funko collector, I wanted to see how you reacted in this experience. And it didn't take long for me to get into the mood. And I was banging these big inflatable balloons about, making noise and screaming. What was it like for you, Paul, to finally be at a Funko Fun Day?
I thought we were just going to turn up, have our food and drink, get our bag of pops. And I knew throughout the night they'd come and bought more around the tables for you anyway. But I didn't know I'd be blowing up the bangy sticks that you can bang together. They had lights in. And once it kicked off, it's like Pirates theme this year.
Yeah.
And they had like a little theme going, like a play going as well for a story. And you had the four zones of the room, which was the four characters. You all had different colour thing. And I think me and you, within 10 or 15 minutes, we're out, we're on the tables, we're banging these things. There was Funko staff on our table, which was quite mad. They were getting involved. And I think when it ended, I thought, what have I been doing? Because I don't normally get sucked into stuff like that and get involved. I'll actually sit there like this. Here's my stuff. Thank you very much. And go home.
Yeah.
And then you was in it. I was in it. I think the bangers just started leaking air in the end and was trying to blow them back up just to make noise. No one knew you were there as a person was doing this, because there's thousands of them going.
My voice has just started coming back now after a week of returning. And I was sat down. Yeah, so for the first 5-10 minutes, there was lots of cheering and you were sort of... So there's a pirate ship in the middle. The room split into quarters. So you're all in one particular section. And then there's a play. There's like this little event, how this ship gets from point A to point B. And there's mystical characters come out and there's Funko mascots that come out that give you prizes and badges. And even in between all of that, people are going around the event and they're trading Funkos. And they're sort of saying, oh, what did you get? Or did you get this one? Did you get this? And it's such a surreal evening how this company, and this over about 10 years or so, have got to this such a huge global scale that the tickets for this event are so sought after. And you can see why these passionate fans from around the world are there to experience this evening of, again, Funkos and camaraderie. But to get sucked into that world, it didn't take much for me. I was enjoying sitting back and sort of documenting the experience. And then within, again, 5-10 minutes, I'm there banging on the table, pick us, pick us. And we were playing games.
Table 12.
And there were surprise guests as well. There was Sean Astin from the Goonies and Lord of the Rings. He was there throwing Funkos out. Fluffy, the comedian, was there. It was just another thing to add to this surreal week that made it so special. And again, just moments that sort of that just pinched you, thinking, yeah, we were there for this. It wasn't just, oh yeah, we finished at the con now. Let's go back to the hotel, have a drink, have something to eat, go to sleep. We can do it again tomorrow, which I think partly why I'm just getting over my jet lag still now. Today's what? Yeah. Today's Monday the 5th. We've been back for a week, and I'm still getting over it, buddy.
Yeah, well, you and me both. I'm getting these. I'm coming up from work, and I'm having these little like half-hour power naps. And I don't know what's that. I still don't feel I'm at 100%. I'm about 90 at the minute.
So
I
think in the next
days I'll get to 100%, and I'll be ready to go. But I've got this chilled, relax a little bit about me at the minute, and I can't shift it, and I'm liking it. So
it's nice, yeah. It was
nice,
and I think that is because we have just been used to having such a hectic week,
yeah.
And sticking to our schedule and our timetable, thinking, right, we've got to be here for this time. We'll get up at this time. I think one of our main goals was that at least we have 5 hours sleep a night. We can function on that, and I think we had some nights that were better than others. I think it was pretty much by the end of the week, we were waking up at the same time, and Paul was making some delicious coffees and getting us both ready for the day. But it was such an exciting week, but we were constantly doing things. But there were times that we knew we had to take a step back, sit down, have a chill, relax, and get ourselves ready for the next day, which I think why the Sunday, the final day, was so... not anticlimactic, but just calm and steady. We had done everything that we wanted to do, so everything else was still a bonus. And we did our final walk of the comm floor. We went back to the DC booth to just say our goodbyes and say our thank yous to all the staff that had helped us out there. And to see their big board saying, like, they had a display case where everything was on sale. You could look at. Everything had been sold out. There was even the huge statue there that was made out of Batmobiles and Batman figurines of Batman. Even that had been purchased. And I was so proud to be a DC fan and see that booth do so well. One of the things that did leave me quite curious was the fact that the Marvel booth at San Diego Comic-Con, it looked good. They had the Wolverine and the Deadpool costumes out there. They didn't really have a shop as such. It didn't seem to be as hectic and as popular as the DC booth. Now, we are clearly DC fanboys. That is obvious to see. But it did make me quite proud to see all those items, especially Superman items, be so popular. So, yeah, we had spent a lot of time at that booth over the 4 days of Comic-Con.
Yeah. They got some dollars out of us as well, which was slow. And what I liked about it was how quick, I know, like, they even give us the little warning, like, oh, some of these T-shirts and that, some of it's going to the UK, a similar style, and also on the website in the States. So it's nice that this week, the Warner Brothers UK one got these with some nice
glass. Really quick. And the hats as well. But there were some exclusive things that we got out there. One of the special things that I know Paul got and I got as well, if I can find one. Oh. What is that for starters?
I bet it's this.
It is the ball. But that's my Funko coin. But yes, the Superman pin. We both got a few of those, both because we wanted extras. We've done some giveaways. I had lots of wonderful messages when we both did when we were out there saying, like, thank you for taking us along as part of the journey sort of thing. But also, it sucks that we couldn't get everything that everybody wanted. We had some very nice requests saying, please, could you pick us up a T-shirt? Please, could you pick me up a pin or this thing or that thing? And it would have been impossible for us to do that. So Paul and I have both, in a way, got something for everyone by hosting a giveaway. And they're still live on our pages. And there will be more San Diego giveaways coming soon. But I would love to have been able to get something for everybody there, but it's just been impossible. But that DC booth, whether it be the statues that we got or the comics or the pins or the badges or the hats, I was just happy to see so many people be excited for DC Comics merchandise. There was definitely a real buzz around that booth. The whole con was electric for the whole weekend. But seeing that DC booth was great. So, yeah, we went back there on our final day, which was very sad. We definitely were both quite somber on that last day. We said our goodbyes and we went off and did our final experience, which was the Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
The Winchester, which was a fun little way to end the week. Yeah. They sort of they turned a pub into the Winchester, and there were some photo ops, and there was some, again, another gift shop and some great stuff in there. Can of beer. Yeah, I had that beer on the balcony that night. It was about 8.5 pale ale. It was very nice. It hit the spot. I slept that night, funnily enough. I slept that night. Goodness gracious me. But it's Paul and I will be talking about this event for months to come, because it really was, for some, it could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We might go again. We've not decided no or yes yet. But for me, Paul, it was definitely going with you. It made it more enjoyable. Planning it was easier. It made me more at ease having somebody there with me. We've both done solo trips before around the world to different events. So we know the pressure and the anxieties and the worries that can come with solo traveling. Going as a team, having each other's backs, you being there definitely made this trip more special. So thank you for that. If you were to give a first timer some advice about going to San Diego, what advice would you give them, sir?
I would say, firstly, thanks for your comments there, Luke. And likewise, because with you, it was such a more pleasurable and easy experience. There was no stress, no pressure.
No,
and
I think we were laughing all week.
It just worked, didn't it?
It did. It was wonderful.
Thank you as well, mate, honestly. First time is going. It's not as daunting as you think. This was our first time. So at least you'll have a lot longer than what we had. We only had about 6-7 weeks notice that
yes,
it was going. But you'll be planning in the next month or two if you're getting passes and applying for passes, etc., for next July. Sort of plan things you want to do. I know near the event, they come out with the show floor maps, things like that. We sort of studied the map, then we sort of forgot about it because we just wanted to see all the stalls in there in the war, see what companies sold what, etc. And do plan your event. So like the activations like we've done, the Shaun of the Dead, the Penguin thing. The week or two before the con, a lot of these places open up websites where you were going to apply for tickets. Most of them are free. So be quick on them.
Yes.
Prioritize the ones you really want to go and experience first. Get a ticket for that event, then you know you've got it, and go to the next one. Again, the Comic-Con, something we couldn't do because the passes were supplied for us. But applying as a citizen, public member, when you get your tickets and passes, you'll have a option of a flying like raffle. You get like a raffle.
Yeah.
Coming up to the con, every day you can use so many of your raffle points to go and apply for like a wristband to certain booths to get your exclusive. So whether it's Funko, DC, etc. If you don't get them on the Thursday, you can apply for them on the Friday or the Saturday or the Sunday. It's like that because you've got a proper pass, so you get like a code. So that's something to look into as well if you're going for exclusive merch. If you're not, get your passes, go and free roam it and enjoy it. Plan some food, plan some drink, and enjoy some of the town. So don't stay in that con all day.
Oh, yeah, no. There was so much to do
outside.
The Gaslight District, as it was.
Superman Burger.
Oh, my. Yeah, we were just walking out. We were looking for somewhere to eat. And the guy was like, oh, come down here. We've got some nice barbecue. I was like, oh, yeah, maybe we'll check it out. Anyway, we've got a Superman Burger. I was like, we're in. Then it was like, oh, and with this ticket, it's 50% off. And I was like, dude, you had me at Superman Burger. We're down. And we went along in the sort of wonderful little place, Gas Lamp Barbecue, our second barbecue joint of the week. Luckily, there was lots of walking involved during that con, so we put away some of the calories. Yeah. But that burger was delicious. And even at the bar, there was they had a DC and Marvel tip bucket going on.
That's it.
I was like, even though that's clearly a marketing ploy to get more tips, but guess what? You're getting my money in that DC bucket. It was very well done. But yeah, the food there was phenomenal all week. But I think some of the advice that we were given, that we took on, was don't expect to see everything because there's just too much to see. And even though we did manage to do the whole con floor over those 4 days, there were still some things that we didn't get to attend. But we're not tremendously sad about that because we saw the things that we wanted to see, which I think was really important. And
within that, Luke, there were some bonuses, wasn't there? There was a few bonus moments and events, things and people we met that weren't planned. So
be
prepared for things like that. We met a few actors, the guy out of Spider-Man.
Yes.
And
even that, just that chance moment of going to Jim Lee's signing, there were some things that we wanted to do. And it was like, well, Jim Lee's at the signing booth right now and it's about to close. We was like, okay, well, let's try our luck. Let's go over there. And we got to the very last bit of the queue just before, again, that horrible cat sign turned up, and we got on there and we got an autograph and we got to meet the legend himself. We did the night before as well, because he was at the Penguin event. But just every chance that I get to reminisce of my week there in San Diego with you, Paul, all my little scrapbook is filling up with all little bits and bobs in there that we will be sharing for weeks to come, whether it be us on the Batmobile or at the Big Bang Theory set.
Yeah.
There's memories that keep coming back to me. And and things such like this. I wanted a Slabs comic as much as Paul did. I managed to pass the Alex Ross booth one day, and we saw there were these big white boxes available to buy for, I think, $300. Now, there wasn't really much time for me to get buyer's regret from this, because I was like, okay, I want one of those. Because at the time, there were two guys at the booth opening their box up. In the box, you were pretty much guaranteed one Slabbed comic, which was signed, three comics, two of which were signed, and two prints as well. Also, though, in that box, there was a chance you could get an original sketch from Alex Ross. Those had already gone out and won at this point. And to me, this was like the biggest blind box I've ever purchased. And I grabbed it. I was holding onto that bag all day long. And I waited till I got home to open it up. And I opened it up just the other day. And it was like, okay. That's what I saw that on the back first of all. I was like, okay, Action Comics. So I know that I'm very happy with that. So yeah, that was one of my very happy memories for me to bring back from the con. For you, Paul, if you could pick one favorite item that you brought back, apart from your wonderful memories, what item would be your favourite thing that you got from the con?
I would say, I'm not going to go for like the most expensive thing, but I'm probably going to say, like, remember I got my son James the Pop Yourself as like Deadpool and Wolverine on the Funko Stack, them, because he really wanted them. And I didn't know at one point if I was going to be able to get in that queue and get them made. And lucky on that day, we did. And just to see his face when I came home and I opened the case that night, and I just kept giving it. And do you know what? That night, Luke, I finished giving him like all his stuff. I think he got a lot more than I brought back. And he was like, oh, it's a shame that I had no Roadrunner stuff at the Warner Brothers store. And I forgot that in my bag, I still had the Warner Brothers paper bag with his little Roadrunner bit, so I had the pins and that.
Yeah.
And that was his favourite thing. But yeah, getting his Wolverine and Deadpool Pops Funko, let's hit him with his face on.
Yeah,
probably
I was enjoying your phone calls back home and speaking with James, because you kept on, like, you were being very coy, saying, oh yeah, it's quite hard to get in that queue for those Deadpool Funkos. Yeah. Or
hundreds.
It was so many people there, mate. So I'll try my best for you. I'll try my best. And I was hearing you talking about how you were going to come back home and surprise him with these items, that I'm so glad, because to see the look on your face of gifting somebody else something, it was a very nice thing to see. And I think that's some of the big memories for me from that trip, is just experiencing things. Yes, you can quite easily go to a Comic-Con and spend a heck of a lot of money, but it's those moments where you make it to the very end of the queue. You get to see that person who signed your comic. You get to see a cosplay that you were excited to see, or you would find something completely random, like a pack of Superman trading cards that you found, or a pack of Garbage Pail Kids. Like, I can remember these as a kid. And you told me how your dad would take you to different news agents to get you different packs. And I was like, this is what fandom and passion is all about. It's expressing your joy for the things that you love, which is why I think if I was to go back to another Comic-Con, I would want to experience more with others. We both know that we can do it alone, but I think now we would get more enjoyment out of going with friends or more people that are involved in the community to experience it more, because that place was just so joyful. I don't think we had a bad moment within that con. There wasn't any drama. There wasn't any stresses. It was just a magical, magical time, Paul. And being there with you, I would say, is what made it more fun.
Oh, thank you. Like, honestly, I've said this when I come back as well, like going with you made it so much easier. I know I've done the Long Island one. You've done Metropolis.
Yeah.
When you're on your own and you start talking to yourself in your head, your plans for that, I'm going to do this, I need to go and have some lunch, or you forget because you're engrossed in stuff, and it's like, that day we had the pizza. I was like, should we go and have a break? So we went out and had a break for like an hour, got that pizza and a drink and just chilled for half hour. And it was then moments, I think if you was on your own, sometimes you can bypass that and then you get the bed in the evening, you've got a headache or just not looking after yourself. So when there's two or three of you, you're looking after each other.
It really does help. So yeah. So
get drink. But
go with friends, plan with it, plan some more, plan a little bit more, but also take time to just experience things as well.
Yeah,
I don't think this would be the last podcast we talk about this. I think we're going to have to come back on, have another podcast in a few weeks' time just to catch up about the things that we didn't talk about today, Paul. But
The cosplay, we'll do that in the next
one. Oh, yes, the cosplay. Cosplay that just seems to find us. The right time and the right place really did happen. So, yes. In the meantime, Paul, my good man, where can people find you online, sir?
You can find me dcworld.org.uk and be posting on there soon of some of our Comic Con moments and also geekgarage.co.uk and the shop in Wickford and all over social media.
Good lad. That's it. Yeah, we will definitely, I think, we'll give it a couple of weeks and then it's time for us to start getting nostalgic, maybe planning the next one. But yeah, it was a fantastic time. Thank you for those that are listening and watched and joined us on our journey. It made it more fun when we could give you all our little daily updates about what we'll be doing next. But stay tuned to the podcast of Steel and me, Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel. We'll be sharing lots more over the upcoming weeks and probably some more giveaways as well. So, Paul, thank you for your time and I will speak to you again soon, sir.
Thank you, Luke. Thank you, everybody.
Take care.